Carlsbad, People, Purpose, and Impact, an essential podcast for those who live, work, visit, and play in Carlsbad.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. My name is Brett Schanzenbach. I'm the president and CEO of the Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce, and I'm your host today. And I'm pleased to have with me Ken Arajema. Did I say it right?
You did.
Arajema. I was practicing, but Ken Arajema. Ken is the founder and owner of Strategic Business Alliance. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you here. And I was studying up on your background a little bit in preparation for our discussion today. So it looks like you're a Pennsylvania guy.
I am.
Yeah.
Moved out here in 93, though.
93. And ever since, you've been a California guy?
Yeah, but I have my daughters out there, my sister, brother. So
nice. So you still got some connections there. And I think you went to Penn State, is that right?
Did. I went to Penn State. My wife did. My brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and my daughter.
Oh, it runs strong. Okay. That's really fun. And so as Ken and I are sitting here having this chat, it's the first round of March Madness. Did Penn State make it in this year?
I only pay attention to the football team.
Got it. Fair. That's fair because they have a legendary, football program. And I'm thinking through my brackets. I don't remember seeing them in the brackets. So they're probably not in. So it's probably safer that you didn't pay that much attention to it. But no, that's awesome. You've had a really interesting professional career, all kinds of interesting stops along the way. And I'd love for you to navigate it for us a little bit. But I saw the Navy Exchange Services, Lego, No Fear. I mean, some really high level stuff. So take us through a little bit your background and those stops along the way.
So I'm going to go back to high school when I graduated. Yeah. I wasn't ready for college. So I decided to go in the Coast Guard for 4 years.
Okay.
And basically I was in aviation. I did as an enlisted, I was a navigator and a radioman aboard an aircraft, old seaplane. After the 4 years, I went to Penn State. I got an accounting degree and then I went to the Navy Exchange in Staten Island. That's where they're headquartered. And basically, it was first 3 years I was an auditor, traveled 80% of the time all over the world. And wow. That's how I found out about San Diego and how I liked it. And from there, from New York, I went to Mechanicsburg for a while, ran an internal auditor, went back to New York for the Navy Exchange for an accounting manager, ran a payroll of about 30,000 people.
Wow.
The Navy Exchange is about $2.5 billion in sales. So it was a huge company.
Wow.
They decided to move to Virginia Beach and I decided I wanted to come out to California. They had an opening. So I came out here in 93, ran a regional office, about $700 million a year. The accounting office had about 165 people underneath me at any given time.
And that's still through the Navy Exchange?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, still.
Okay.
We basically had six regional offices out here on the West Coast. We all consolidated during that time to one San Diego office. I decided that the pay was a little low, so I applied for a job at Lego.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't part of the park. It was
right.
What they started was a retail office.
Okay.
And they ran all the retail stores worldwide out of the Carlsbad office. There was 25 of us. So I was there for 4 years. They decided to move back to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I decided that I wasn't going back. Mm-hmm. So I applied for a job at No Fear. I actually went in there as a financial analyst.
Okay. Interesting.
2 months later, I was the controller of their retail division.
Wow, that was rapid.
And a month later, I was their CFO.
Wow. So, my goodness. That was a rapid ascent.
It moved pretty quick. And that was a temporary position for 10 years.
Wow. Okay. I'm curious what a permanent position looks like over there. No Fear, but they had quite a run. I'm trying to think. I don't feel like I see them around as a clothing brand as much today, but they were quite a popular time where they were really successful.
They were strong in the 90s. That was before I came on board. And then when I came on board, it was 2004. They were doing about $12 million in sales. They had 10 retail stores. They had a wholesale division. By the time they ended up filing bankruptcy in 2012, mm-hmm. and they had 55 retail stores.
Mm.
They were doing about close to $90, $95 million in sales.
Mm.
So, and they had six different companies going on at that time.
Wow.
So it was very interesting, very, very challenging.
Well, and complex. So I'm kind of listening through, these different stops along the way. I feel like these experiences prepared you well for then that next step, which was an entrepreneurial step on your part. So tell us about that. Why did you go from, you know, kind of corporate really with, you know, Lego and No Fear and maybe even the Navy Exchange to being your own boss, I guess you would say, and starting your own firm?
My mother and father actually had a bar back in the 70s. They owned and operated. So I saw the entrepreneurial spirit that they had back then. And I always knew that from an accounting standpoint, that would be important. So I cut my teeth with all the companies. And then I felt after No Fear, I needed to take a step back. I actually took three months off, didn't do anything. I was researching how I could help out small businesses with technology. From there, it just took off. I don't only focus on local businesses. It's nationwide. So I have about 25 clients, Washington. I've had some in the Philippines, some in the Ukraine some time. So it's been
international.
It's been kind of interesting going along. But the smaller the business, I actually enjoy because they actually listen to you and and they'll make changes if I make suggestions to them.
Awesome. Okay. So you started your own firm. So let's kind of, you know, unwrap that a little bit and tell people what Strategic Business Alliance is and what you do and what are some of the services you offer.
So we provide what they call, it's a new terminology, it's a CAS, Client Accounting and Advisory Services. So we provide anywhere from the bookkeeping and payroll up to monthly financial reporting, budgeting, forecasting, business planning. So it depends on when I meet up with a prospect, I do a discovery call. I try to figure out what they actually need, and then I'll tailor my package to what they need. And it's a subscription that I normally work with. And then from there, we try to steer the companies in the right direction. So the ideal situation is the CFO level, which is the advisory, the business planning, and the budgeting and forecasting. That's what really can help out a small business. And a lot of the small businesses don't have that experience. And when they hire a bookkeeper, there's different levels of bookkeepers. So you have the bookkeeper that just enters information. You have a senior level bookkeeper that kind of has a working knowledge. Then you have the accountant, and then you have a CFO, a fractional CFO, and they have a better understanding of what the numbers look like, and they can correct and make sure that everything's running correctly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What would be, I'm not sure if there's an ideal size company that is a sweet spot for your services, or if, you know, if there's a range, and yeah, talk about that.
Probably from an employee side, it's one to about 50. They can go up to a couple million dollars. I just did a solo company a couple of years ago. They started off at about $1.6 million. I went in as their accountant at the time. They had a CFO. The CFO stepped away. So I came in as their fractional CFO. And they went from 1.6 million to about 188 million in about a 4-year period of time. That was from like 2017 to actually 22. So
I saw that testimony on your webpage, that company called Power or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Power.
Unbelievable. He showed that little chart of how they had grown during your time. I mean, that was pretty amazing.
and they were all on so the software I use is Xero or QuickBooks Online.
Yeah.
And I basically had them on Xero. I pushed all the limits. So when I first started working with them, they had maybe a couple hundred transactions per month. When we got done, we were doing about 14,000 transactions per month. So we pushed all the limits. And at the time we were pulling it, I had my staff here. So I had 5 US employees, and then I was pulling the staff from India to help out.
Wow.
So
that's intense. All right, we're going to take a brief pause. We're talking to Ken Arajema. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it. Ken Arajema. He is the owner of Strategic Business Alliance. And we're going to continue to kind of dive into this, the nuances of his company when we come back. So stay with us. We'll be right back. I want to take a moment to introduce you to our partners at Diff Mix Productions. They are a top-tier podcast management company that makes podcasting as easy as making a cup of coffee in your own kitchen. DiffMix specializes in launching new podcasts and maintaining existing ones right from the comfort of your own home. No need to step into a studio or even change out of your pajamas. They've got the tech handled so you can focus on sharing your message. Whether you're a coach, trainer, salesperson, or someone who's just starting to explore the world of podcasting, DiffMix is here to help. They'll transform your podcast into a powerful lead generation tool without overwhelming you with the technical side of things. Ready to start your own podcast?
visit diffmix.com. The link is in the show notes. Let DiffMix handle the tech while you handle the talk. Now, back to our show.
So Ken, before we took a break, we were just talking about this one particular client who grew exponentially over a 5-6 year period from 1.6 million to, I think you said, 188 million. Whew. That is staggering. I am curious, because you were talking about, you know, you use QuickBooks Online, and then you also mentioned Xero. I honestly am not familiar with Xero, and would love to hear you kind of talk about it a little bit. Maybe some of our, I feel like the whole world knows QuickBooks. That doesn't mean it's good or bad. I've never heard of Xero.
Xero is like a good option. So when I was doing my research, when I stepped back from Nofear, I was looking at different software that could be used. So you had QuickBooks Desktop, you had QuickBooks Online. Xero is out of New Zealand, and they started challenging QuickBooks, and they started offering a lot of options. It's open interface software so that you can bring in other apps. Right now, there's like 800 apps out there that can do it, that can assist in the accounting.
Staggering.
So they had an open interface. It works nice. It's actually a nice software for a small business company. It's easy to use. I prefer using that over QuickBooks, but out here in the U.S., there's more of a pull towards QuickBooks Online.
Sure.
Xero has about 3 million users worldwide.
Okay.
When I first started using it back in 2014, they had maybe 250,000 people. That was it using it.
3 million.
No. But they have great multi-currency, which you don't really need a lot out here. You have consolidations. It's a little bit cheaper to run for small businesses.
Okay. Interesting. And QuickBooks, from my understanding, is trying to kill or get away from the desktop. I mean, we here at the Chamber are on QuickBooks Online, but we migrated about 5 years ago off of the desktop to online. And my previous stop before coming to the Carlsbad Chamber, we did the same thing. Is desktop still a thing?
It's still around. Oh, and it's more of a subscription base.
Okay.
Now that, like, enterprise, you have to go in and subscribe to it each year.
Okay.
It's a little bit more robust. It would be good for like a manufacturer that has a lot of inventory needs. QuickBooks Online is and Xero are basically good for most small businesses.
Okay.
It depends on their needs or what they're trying to get out of the software.
Very interesting. You keep up on all kinds of business things. I was on your website and really interesting blog that you had there. And I actually signed up for it. So I was like, oh, the topics you were pulling in were very interesting. What kinds of things are you seeing in the business world right now that are trends and that are out there? Full disclosure, I didn't prep him for this question.
Yeah. From a small business standpoint, I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth. But for the bigger businesses, like my wife works for Pfizer, so they're going through some cutbacks. You just have to not 100% prepared for that. So
yeah, no, it's okay. And we've seen the same locally. Carlsbad's biggest employers, I can think of three of them that all went through multiple rounds of layoffs last year. I think we've stabilized that here in Carlsbad. Those companies here in Carlsbad seem to have stabilized and are hopefully now, you know, just looking at moving back up. And of course, nationwide, we've seen the tech industry have layoffs after layoffs after layoffs, everything from Qualcomm to Microsoft and everything in between. So that's a little challenging out there.
Well, from the accounting side, the big push is, and it's not new, but everybody's talking about it as if it's new, is the AI that's coming up,
okay.
Artificial intelligence, that it's going to replace the bookkeeper, the accountant, but it's been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's not new, but it's just the way they're presenting it now that these jobs will go away. So you have ChatGPT that's out there. It's helped writing stuff, but I wouldn't put financial information up there because it's not secured.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you see that in keeping in the accounting sphere, bookkeeping, accounting, that whole realm? Do you really see that people's jobs are currently in jeopardy?
From the accounting standpoint, people have to accept the technology and become more advisors. So they can't just be number crunchers and not advise the small business owner. If they stay just entering data, that job will go away. What I'm hearing is like it's the travel agencies of the 1990s. So that will go away. But the accountant, if they're properly trained and they understand how to read reports and advise the clients, that position will always be around. That's going to be needed. AI can't do that for them.
It's going to be needed and valued because that role, as much as computers can crunch numbers, they can't assess them that well and mm-hmm. help you forecast and then make strategic decisions for you. They just can't do it.
No, they can't.
And that's like your whole background, like that CFO type, you know, and as you were just pointing out, the higher level accountant, you know, CPA, et cetera, it's going to be valuable still.
The CPAs, a lot of the CPAs are, they're strong on the tax. They're strong on the audit. They're starting to get into the CAS accounting where they're starting to do more advisory. In the beginning, they didn't think, like the last probably 10 or 15 years, maybe longer, bookkeeping was not something they wanted. They wanted to offload it.
Sure.
But for the bookkeeping is the basics. You have to get that right. Once that's right, then you can actually start doing the advising. And the CPA firms are starting to go into that direction, but their bread and butter's tax. Mm-hmm. Their bread and butter's tax and audit.
Audit, yeah. Which of course, like, I mean, I know as a relatively small nonprofit here at the Chamber of Commerce, we get audited every year, and which is important and gives our board that that comfort that, you know, we're doing things the right way, and it gives me protection that that they get that. So yeah, that service, you can't just plug a bunch of numbers into an AI program and let it tell you thumbs up.
You have to understand what you're looking at. And AI will put it in the correct accounts, but you need to understand what you're looking at. Like from a balance sheet, there's a lot of things that go wrong. And if you're not looking at it or correcting the problems that you see, then it just festers and gets worse.
Yeah.
And every company I've worked with, the balance sheet's normally the first thing I look at because that's normally a mess. So you clean it up.
I have to admit, when I first got in, you know, to this level of running organizations, balance sheets were confusing. Not having taken a bunch of accounting classes in my life, I did take some executive level, you know, finance classes that helped explain them. But at first it was like, how does this work? You know, profit and loss are more intuitive, you know? Mm-hmm. Balance sheet isn't, you just don't look at it and all of a sudden understand it. It's nuanced.
Yeah.
To your point. So with your business, do you have certain industries that are more your sweet spot, or is it pretty broad? You can work with kind of anything.
I can work with anything, but I'm being coached. And one of the things they keep on pushing me for is to do a niche.
Yeah.
And it's kind of difficult because my initial focus was small business, you know, $250,000 up to couple million dollars. To me, accounting is accounting.
Yeah.
In most cases. But like, I have several nonprofits. I have several tech companies.
Excellent.
Startups. So those have been a focus and actually been very well. I just picked up a Montessori school in Michigan.
Wonderful.
So it's, and again, that's a nonprofit. So it all depends. And my staff has to be trained. So we basically focus on like 8 apps that we can use. Because with, as I said, 800 earlier, so we have something for bill pay, which is bill.com that we use. That scrapes the data off. And you send a bill to an email address. It scrapes the data off the bill and it does most of the data entry for you. You just confirm it and post it. And then you can pay with it. You have the payroll service we use is Gusto, which is a very user-friendly for a small business. We have Xero, QuickBooks. We have something called Sift for financial analysis or reporting. I use Live Plan for business planning. So it all ties in and I can use that in almost every business that I go to. It's just, but I have to make sure their back end is set up correctly, which means the chart of accounts has to be set up correctly.
Right.
That's the brain of everything that goes on in your accounting. If that's not set up right, then you start running into trouble.
Yes. And I can attest to that here. Just coming here, it was not set up properly, or what's the gap principles, or you know, generally accepted
accounting principles.
Yeah, we had some changes and a cleanup to do, and those can be a little bit painful at first, but getting it all set up is fantastic. So if somebody is hearing about Strategic Business Alliance for the first time and wants to get in touch with you and chat with you, where's the best place to start? Would it be like your website or a phone, or what would be best?
So we all work remotely. So I do have an office down in Common Grounds, but best way is online. There is several call to actions where you can fill out your information and then it will send me an information about your company. Then we'll send over a request to do like a quick discovery call. The phone number that you can call is 760-573 1038. That goes into an answering service. So I get that 24/7. Somebody will answer and immediately send me an email with your information, what you're looking for. So those are probably the two best ways.
And your website URL is?
Strategic-BA.com.
Strategic-BA for Business Alliance.com. Strategic-BA.com. So folks can do that. Now I was, you know, as I like to poke around, I believe you have two beautiful young adult daughters. Is that right?
I do.
One that got married not too long ago?
My youngest one got married down at Scripps, La Jolla. They have a nice venue down there. So if she wanted a beach wedding, she got the beach wedding.
Nice. And
she got married in January. She purchased her first home in Temecula.
Wow.
She's closing today. She's getting the keys.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That's the American dream right there. Good for her.
And the oldest one, I mentioned she's a Penn Stater. She actually got her PhD there.
Wow.
And then her husband also has a PhD. So she is actually working for NASA right now.
Fantastic.
As a research scientist. And she's actually, I wouldn't say running the, she basically put a package together where they're going to be, it's kinesiology, so it's sports medicine. So they're putting equipment up in the Artemis lab when it goes up and how people would work in zero gravity, keeping fit. So it's pretty interesting. And I've been to NASA a couple of times with my daughter, and it's pretty cool seeing this.
That is amazing. Wow, so accomplished. That is fantastic. And so wait, NASA's in Texas?
No. Houston.
Okay. Houston, Texas, right. So she's there, she and her husband are there, and then your other daughter is fairly local here, just got her, was getting her keys today in Temecula. That's wonderful. Super fun. I'm sure you guys are proud parents. Well, from Facebook, I can tell you're proud parents.
Yeah, we are. We are.
And you guys are happy Carlsbadians. And
we've been in Carlsbad since 2001.
Nice.
And my wife, she's an Ironman. So she...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we've been married for 34 years, but the last 10 years, it's been kind of... She's been training. She actually went to Kona last year, ran that race there. And now she's finally relaxed and we can start going out skiing and stuff like that.
Because now you can keep up with her. Now that she's kind of let that go a little.
Yeah.
You know, that is interesting. My wife and I have been married 34 years. And my wife is not an Ironman, but she did two triathlons. The shorter ones, though, not those. Mm-hmm. Those are something, but that, how funny that we have that in common. So very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come down and talk with us. I thank you also. I know you're involved in our Net Force here. You're on our ambassador committee, which we just really appreciate your engagement with us here at the chamber and all that you do and you know, your membership. We just really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Great to have you.
Thanks for joining us today on our Carlsbad People, Purpose, and Impact podcast. If you got value out of our episode today, please hit the follow button on your favorite podcast app, and please tell a friend. Can't wait to see you next time on Carlsbad People, Purpose, and Impact.